prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Monday, April 10th. May 10th. And we have an important show today. I'm really excited about today's show because those of you who have been fans of mine for the past 15 years know that I have no filter. What I think comes right out of my mouth, and much to dissatisfaction of some people in the audience, I'm sure today's show will get calls for cancels. I'm positive, actually. But it's a topic that we must address. The American government missed a great opportunity, and the medical orthodoxy in 2020 at the onset of this pandemic, when we understood that the people at greatest risk were those with comorbidities. This was a blanket word because they didn't want to say the obese and unhealthy people, because anytime you talk about obesity and self-acquired illness, because that's what type 2 diabetes is. You have to do something for a decade or longer to make yourself sick. And you're consciously doing it because in the back of your mind, you say to yourself, I'm going to diet. I'm going to start walking. I'm going to stop staying up late and watching Jimmy Kimmel and eating Pop-Tarts all night long. I'm going to do that eventually, but just not right now. And these are the people that are the reason that we're wearing masks, because they're so frail that if they acquire this virus, they'll die from it. And it's time to, like, talk about the 6,000-pound elephant in the room. And I'm using that analogy specifically because there are a lot of unhealthy people out there who need to take control of themselves. They need to become the stewards of their own health. Vaccines aren't going to work. We already know vaccines. So right now, the CDC is not counting new cases of COVID in people who have been vaccinated. Think about that for a second. They're just not counting them. Unless they go to the hospital. As long as they don't go to the hospital, they say, you're okay. Why are they doing that? Because the vaccines aren't working. We already know this now. And the only thing that does work, sadly, is what the American government should have been telling people at the onset of this pandemic. So since they don't have the chutzpah to do this because they're afraid of, you know, pissing off their constituents who want participation trophies and want to be told everything they do is just wonderful, we're going to do it today with my guest, Dr. Erica Schwartz, in just a second. We have to thank our title sponsor, Legendary Foods. Go to the URL, shrnetwork.biz/legendary. Use the code SHR10. Check out the tasty pastries. If you want a sugar-free, I'm saying sugar-free, less than 1 gram of sugar, delicious snack that will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. You have to try the new cake style tasty pastries. They're unbelievable. They're taking the country by storm. People outside the country are asking for them. They can't get them yet. They're delicious. The red velvet cake is amazing. The strawberry is amazing. The cinnamon is amazing. The new cookies and cream, which the outside of it looks like the cookie of an Oreo, filled with delicious sweet cream inside that has less than 1 gram of sugar. I don't understand how they do it, but it's delicious. Go again to shrnetwork.biz/legendary. Use the code SHR10. Also, listen for the secret word during the commercial break. And I'm going to start reminding people right before the commercial break to listen, because when you hear the secret word, email it along with your shipping address to onair@superhumanradio.net. We are giving away tons and tons of boxes right now. People are loving them, and of course they're buying more. So don't forget to do that. And now, without further delay, my guest today is Dr. Erica Schwartz. She's been on before when we talked about peptides for women. Welcome to the show, Dr. Schwartz. How are you?
Thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be with you, Carl.
So we're gonna rustle some feathers today. So first of all, you did a great TED Talk. It's available at YouTube for people who want to see the entire TED Talk that kind of gave rise to today's interview. But you talked about a missed opportunity, didn't you?
Yes. And the pandemic should have just woken up to the fact that, you know, what you said before is the truth. And I think we need to start talking about the truth, that what the risk factors are for a lot of people, they're self-induced. And it is obesity, adult onset diabetes, hypertension, it's people not moving, and people eating junk. And we need to take responsibility for it. I understand the conventional medical system at this point is making money off of these diseases because all you could do is treat them with drugs, but nobody's really telling the truth. Each one of us has to take responsibility and has to stop. I mean, how did the liquor stores become essential businesses? Explain that to me. Yeah. I drive by a liquor store every day on my way back from work, and it's always busy. I mean, in the middle of the pandemic, there was nobody out, and there were people at the liquor store. I mean, what is wrong with our country? What's wrong with our culture? Why are we doing this? It's suicide. We're committing suicide for no good reason, because we live so much better, as you show on your show all the time. If you eat right, if you exercise, if you sleep, you deal with stress, you don't have to be all the way at the top of the pile to have hormones and peptides. You don't really need that, but you need to own your health because it's yours. And you know what? Yes, we have super fast food, junk food every place you turn. You have all this garbage everywhere, and we're all buying into it because we think that we can't help it, but we can help it.
Wait. It's not that we think we can't help it. So I want to, this is something I touched on a couple of weeks ago on the show. Doctors today treat patients like they are unteachable. So in other words, and to a great degree they are. And I'm not blaming this on doctors. To a great degree, and I'll give you an example too. But right now doctors look at a patient and they know, if I could get this patient to eat differently and less, if I can get this patient to go to sleep at night instead of staying up all night watching TV till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, if I can get this patient to actually exercise, if I can get this patient to do these three things, I won't have to prescribe this metformin 5 months from now. But the doctor says to himself, they'll never do that. So my only alternative is to treat them like they won't do what's in their own best interest. So doctors are kind of stuck. If they have that, I mean, physicians complain about patient compliance, about just taking a pill every day. How are we going to get them to go to sleep on time, exercise more, and eat better? So you tell me, the doctor is really being handed an impossible job, and the standard of care forces them to, say, take this pill.
You know, when I first went into private practice many years ago after running a trauma center, as my first job out of training, I worked for this doctor. And he said to me, he had been in practice for many, many years. And he said to me, unless you give them a prescription, they're going to feel like you haven't done any good for them. And I did try it for a few years, but I couldn't live with my conscience. And I thought, I really actually have to get involved with the patient and help them understand and make the connections that seem to be taboo in our society. Like what you just said, the connection between eating better, exercising, sleeping. Those connections you have to make on your own. And, you know, the medical, you know, I wrote a book, Don't Let Your Doctor Kill You, that came out 5 years ago.
Wow.
And it, you know, became a pretty big bestseller, and it's still doing well because people want to see the truth, hear the truth. It's just they don't get the truth. So, you know, as a doctor, I don't care what they teach you. When you're standing there, sitting there in front of a patient, that's the only thing that matters. If you make that person better, if you give them a drop of hope, if you make anything work better for them, you're successful. If you don't, you're a failure. So I think that giving people drugs as the only, you know, writing a prescription, right, is really not doing anybody a favor. You're doing a favor to the drug companies, but you're not doing a favor to the patient.
Right.
And
right.
People don't make connections. And I'm not, you know, obviously I'm not going to, you know, protect the doctors or the patient. I'd like the truth to come out, right? So the thing is that people don't make connections. And unless you have a relationship with them and they hear you and they try something and they see it works, they're not going to do it. So the conversation really is about the patient at the end of the day, because there are a lot of doctors who will prescribe the wrong things, and there are a lot of doctors who will prescribe the right things. There are a lot of doctors who care and a lot of doctors who don't care. So you as the individual, as the consumer of the healthcare system, can make your own decisions. You're not a victim. And right now, the conventional medical system really takes advantage of putting people into the position of being a victim,
right,
and feeling that they have no out. I mean, I might have cancer, or I might have something, I'm going to die. Well, we will all die. But the thing is, how are we living is the question.
In fact, I would argue that victimhood has become a new virtue in our population. I see people who talk about their diseases the way I would talk about my new motorcycle. I'm so excited about my new motor. Oh, my God. I have fibromyalgia. And then they want to talk to other people with fibromyalgia. And they all want to commiserate about having fibromyalgia. It's the first thing that they say. Now, the new virtue is, I got vaccinated. Did you get vaccinated?
Also,
I got vaccinated.
It's true. But, I mean, you can sit, you know, like when we used to sit in restaurants and sit next to each other. You used to hear people talking about, I'm going for my CAT scan. I'm going for my MRI. I'm having, you know, my osteoporosis. And all these diseases were my diseases. Why would you own a disease? I'd rather own a motorcycle. You're right. And I mean, it makes no sense. But we've created that.
Yes.
You know, we created it, so we have to stop it.
Right.
We have to stop it. I've been practicing medicine for 40 plus years. I've been a doctor for 45 years. You know what? I'm healthy. My patients are healthy. We only had very few cases of COVID. Nobody required hospitalization. My patients are fine. Everybody around me is fine because they take ownership. They own their health. They take responsibility. They're not victims.
In fact, I would argue this is a new modern selection pressure that we're in. So I started saying over a decade, the new evolutionary selection pressure is where you get your information from. So if you're told it's not your fault you're obese, it's not your fault you have diabetes, you know, it's your genetics and all that sort of stuff, and you buy into that, then you will lead your life with decisions based upon that misinformation. But if you get information, if you listen to this show, and I keep telling you, no, your health is in your hands. Get up and exercise, train rigorously, get strenuous, you know, tap into your evolutionary edicts and do things. Get to bed at sundown or a little bit later. You know, wake up early in the morning. Get the light in your eyes. Eat an ancestral diet. Stay away from anything that comes in a package. And so where you get your information from will determine your outcome and, quite frankly, if you're a parent, the outcome of your children. And quite frankly, there is a mission today to continue to spread misinformation, in my humble opinion. And it's not – everybody goes, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. No, it's about money. Everything at the end of the day, from Bill Gates to whatever it is that you think is going wrong, is about somebody making money. And that's what it's about. Because the government can't come forth and say, you know, the MyPlate, the food pyramid, we were wrong. We really helped give you type 2 diabetes if you were following that. They can't. They're not going to come and become culpable for your illness. So if you don't seek out information and if you don't apply the lost art of critical thinking and reason and say, wow, this doesn't make sense that they want me to eat this food and take these drugs when I could just do that instead, then you're lost. And victimhood is now a part of our evolutionary tapestry now.
And it's sad because it ruins your life. It really ruins your life. Because I think that if you take ownership and you know you're not a victim, you don't have to be a victim, you don't have to have a test, you don't have to have an annual physical, you don't have to do anything that you are told you must have, but rather you can learn how your body feels and you could start moving. Like, you know, some people are already, you know, in trouble because they're too fat, they have too many problems, but you know, today is like you could start today. You could get off the couch and walk around the couch. You know, by the time you get to doing, you know, you know, really good, like heavy duty exercising, you will have gone through the road. And it doesn't matter. You just start today. And I think that that's something that empowers people, takes away the victimization part of it, and it makes it better. But I have to tell you, if we're sitting on the couch, you know, like you said, you know, eating junk, drinking alcohol, you know, you're not going to be okay. And, you know that no medication is going to make you better. No, you know, no surgery is going to make you better. You know, replacing joints and doing all this stuff is not going to make your life better. And at the end of the day is like, isn't it about the quality of our life? Isn't that what this is about?
So, I have like ADHD. I hear so many things I want to talk about. I want to put this comment up first. So Scott Lawless says, I feel like the commiserating aspect of chronic illness is partly from how long it can take for proper diagnosis and the poor care of our sick care. And yeah. And this is why if so, as a business person, I want to talk to successful business people. If I'm having trouble, if I'm faced with a bankruptcy, I don't want to talk to other people who've gone through bankruptcy so they can pat me on the back and go, oh, don't worry about it. I want to talk to people who almost filed bankruptcy but dug their way out of it. The problem with commiseration today is who are you commiserating with? If you're commiserating with people like yourself who are not finding answers in the medical orthodoxy, you're just going to be chanting. You're not learning anything. You're not learning a new direction. So you, the first step is, and I've said this my whole life, part of the greatest gifts I have had is that I ask good questions. In life, when I'm searching for something on the internet, I ask good questions. I get the answers I'm looking for right away. If you're not asking the right questions, you're always going to be stuck in that compendium of people who, like you, are struggled and frustrated. What do you say?
I agree with you. There's not much to say, but you're right. It's like, you know, it's like I was thinking when you were talking about friends, right? Who are your friends? Well, your friends reflect who you think you are, right? So if you think you're a victim, you think that there is no way out, that the glass is half empty. If you feel that way and your friends feel the same way, how are you going to get out of it? And to blame someone else is always a problem because this way you can blame someone else. The doctor can blame the patient can blame the doctor, we can blame the system, but the only way we can change it is if we stop blaming and start owning it. And you see, like, results, they're so remarkable. And, you know, I've seen so many people deciding that they won't keep on doing the same thing. Because if you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you're getting. So if you want to change, today is the opportunity to change. And, you know, having another physical or another MRI, another CAT scan, another blood test is not going to do anything. It's going to keep you exactly where you've been.
Do you know what is Ehlers-Danlos?
Ehlers-Danlos. It's a biochemical thing.
Okay.
Right. You know what it is? It's a hypermobility of the joints. And it's a really, actually, unfortunately, it's not a treatable disease. And the problem is that getting a diagnosis is really, so this is a very interesting, I mean, I'm really sorry, but this is the thing. Ehlers-Danlos is a perfect example that, you know, everybody's looking for a diagnosis. And I think the diagnosis in this case is a really heart disease because it's genetically, it has a genetic hereditary component. Then the other thing is that your hypermobility, the connective tissue, right, at the genetic level, exactly. So this is the problem. It's non-treatable. And so to get the diagnosis is not going to help anything, right? What are you doing as you go through life to make this a better life?
So when people talk about genetic disorders, I hearken back to the twin studies on the BRCA gene. Mm-hmm. When the BRCA gene was first discovered, and there was a 90% risk of breast cancer.
Right.
And so women who would identify as having the BRCA gene, they went in for mastectomies immediately. They're like, take my breasts. I don't even want to get breast cancer. Yeah, very. This is very sad. But then they did. But then they did a twin study on the BRCA gene, and they found twins. One sister got breast cancer. The other one didn't. And instead of focusing on the one that didn't and say, what did you do differently? Then they just said, well, the genetic code, but they stay with the gene. But the gene is activated and inactivated by things you do. Now, what are those things? I don't know. It could be that you live under high power wires. I mean, believe me, that power does something. It could be something in your diet. It could be something that you were exposed to as a child that has taken hold. But my belief about genetics is this. I am not genetically predisposed to breathe water. If I jump in the ocean and take a deep breath, I'm going to die. The geneticist says, let's find the gene. No, I say, don't jump in the ocean and breathe water. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to minimize your situation, Scott, but I believe in my heart that there is an answer. And even though it's not treatable, quote unquote, because it's a genetic disorder, there is something that is triggering it, something that's triggering it. That's just my belief. And I'm not a doctor. So,
you know what? I think that you're right. But this is the thing. In your case, Scott, you know, it is unfortunately getting that diagnosis kind of makes you sit back and say, look at myself. I don't have any out. But the truth is that while you may not have the same out as somebody who doesn't have this genetic predisposition, you still can eat better, can get rid of the carbs, not drink alcohol, not drink coffee, move, because you need to move to build muscle, because the hypermobility in this kind of problem can be moderated by building muscles. And, you know, when you have muscles, they hold your joints together better. And this is a big problem that you can't do anything about, because if you feel that you can do anything about it, you're not going to do anything about it. So you're going to lose your muscles and you'll be even more handicapped. Right. So yeah, it is a difficult situation. But I agree with Carl, and I think you're right. I think that the genetics, you know, and getting the genome and getting the genetic code, it's great. But what are you going to do? Use CRISPR for everybody and change their right. genetic, you know, their DNA and their RNA? You can't. I think that you have to really kind of deal with the hand you've been dealt. And that means that you can change your diet. You can change the amount of exercise. You can change how much you sleep. There are things you could do. I mean, there are things you can't do. You know, I have patients who are, you know, work the night shift and their whole circadian rhythm is off. And, you know, it bothers me because the only thing I want to say to them is don't.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's how they make a living. So it's all, so you have to respect everybody's situation and understand that their situation can somehow be modified to improve something. And it's within each one of our capabilities to do that. We have the ability to do that.
So we're going to take a break in a moment. And when we come back from the break, everyone knows someone who was, but they were so healthy. She ran every day and then she got COVID and died. And I want to talk about, I want to explore that because there are some outliers. There's outliers in everything in life. But I also want to talk about some things that we, the average person, not us in this audience, but the average person thinks is healthy, is very, very different than what's really healthy. I want to talk about that on the other side of the break. I do want to mention Suzanne Buchanan's comment. She says, I also have a genetic disorder, but epigenetics and nutrigenomics, lifestyle matters, have changed my reality. And I feel so good hearing that because
yes.
we are not a hostage to our genetics. The no. geneticists want us to believe that because they want to have the answer because they can charge billions and billions of dollars for it. But like the analogy I gave before, as long as I don't jump in the water and take a deep breath, I'll never have to worry about my genetic predisposition not to breathe water because I'll never encounter it. I want to talk about a couple things before we go into the break. The first thing is that you can go and search for Dr. Erica Schwartz on YouTube. Erica, it's E-R-I-K-A Schwartz on YouTube for her TED Talk about this topic and get in depth. Also, your website. What is your website?
ES Health.
Just ESHealth.com.
Dot com. Yeah. So we're at on Instagram at eshealth.com, it's easy to find me. Yeah. Okay. I'm very easy to find.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And during that commercial break, I can assure you that there is going to be a secret word. And if you're listening hard and you hear the secret word and you email it along with your mailing address to onair@superhumanradio.net, I'm going to play Santa and send you some free tasty pastries. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order. Being superhuman means being conscientious about the choices we make. White Oak Pastures is superhuman when it comes to raising livestock. They're committed to animal welfare, land regeneration, and rural revival. They responsibly manage the entire process from the pasture to your doorstep. High-quality, pasture-raised, great-tasting meat from a farm you can trust. Full nose-to-tail selections. They even have options for your pet. Go to shrnetwork.biz/whiteoak and use code SHR20 to save 20% off your entire first order. Pandemic. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon. Every day, there's a new wellness trend. Eat that. Do this. Avoid those. How do you know where to start or who to trust? Inside Tracker helps you cut through the noise by analyzing your blood, your DNA, your lifestyle, and your fitness tracker to provide you with a science-backed, trackable action plan on how to live, age, and perform better. Personalized one-size-fits-one recommendations to help you optimize you. For a limited time, Inside Tracker is offering Superhuman Radio listeners 25% off the entire store. Go to shrnetwork.biz/insidetracker, InsideTracker, to save 25% off. Change begins on the inside. You've heard us talk about the power of copper peptides here on the show. Now try it yourself with RestoraCell's amazing new skincare line built on the power of blue copper peptides. All natural, organic, made in the USA, and safe for sensitive skin. Save 30% on their stem cell awakening serum. Go to shrnetwork.biz/RestoraCell. That's RestoraCell. And use code SHR to save 30% off. Remodel your skin today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I've gotten news from Natalie Kapitsky that more men are buying the RestoraCell product in my audience than women. I find that very, very interesting because more and more men are starting to care about their skin. Don't be like me. Look at this. I have Jimmy Hoffa buried right here in this wrinkle right there. That's where he is. So we're talking with Dr. Erica Schwartz. We're talking about the lost opportunity to protect us against the next pandemic, which we'll talk about later in the show, because there will be another one. As long as there's a China on the planet, there will be another pandemic. But anyway, so everyone knows someone. I have a friend who is so healthy, and she got COVID and she died. Sad, very, very sad. I'm not making fun. But everybody knows an outlier. But what is really healthy, Dr. Erica? I mean, is it the average general population, what they think is really healthy really isn't?
Meaning what, lifestyle? Or
well, yeah.
Life?
So, for instance, I have a friend in this building who knew a girl who got COVID mm-hmm. and she died. And he said to me, she used to run like 5-6 miles a day. To me, first of all, we know that running excessively is not a great thing. The story of Marathon and Greece started because the guy who ran to tell them that the enemy was coming died upon arrival. And we also know that idiopathic tachycardia and mitral valve prolapse and other cardiac rhythm issues are tied to excessive running. We also know that runners love to eat what? Tons and tons of pasta because they believe, oh, I need all these carbs. You can only store so much glycogen. The rest of it just spikes insulin and makes body fat. So what people think is healthy today, I don't think really is healthy. What do you think?
I agree. So you have here a mirror sitting here for you. Well, I think that we don't know what happened with this person. And there are a lot of people who died from COVID who we don't know why they died. They were supposedly not at risk until you started looking into their medical, history. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want, the dead, may they rest in peace. And that's basically
right.
it.
Right.
I think what COVID has done is has pretty much destroyed a society that was already falling apart. So now it's how do you rebuild and what do you do with what we've learned? So what did we learn is the question, right? So, everybody has a certain lifespan, right? There is an amount of time when you run out and you don't know when your time is. I don't know when my time is. Most of us don't really know when our time is up. So to worry about that is kind of to waste what you have today, right? So living, the only option we have that if we're going to be successful and enjoy our lives is what are we doing in today, right? And what we're doing today is like we are all have blinders on. We, none of us can see our backs, right? We think that what we're doing is right. So some of us became, helpers, like you're, contributors helping people. I help people. And it's because we probably can't help ourselves as much as we should be able to. Mm. I don't know. But this is really where you start. Like a lot of people, they become therapists because they can't see themselves.
Right.
So we all have blinders on, so there are areas of our lives that we are not really good at. So, I have patients who are huge, like they work, they do the Spartan races and all this stuff, right?
Right.
And they do horrible things. Like I wouldn't do it, and I'm in good shape, and I'm a big proponent of working out nonstop. But these people will eat, like you said, a ton of carbs, and they follow the dietary recommendations of very high carb exercise support regimen. So, yeah, so then they have problems with their joints and they have problems with their ligaments. And that's because they have so much inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And they add on top of that inflammation another layer, which is the exercise, the over-exercising layer. Everybody has to look at themselves and say, what am I doing that's making me better and healthier versus what am I doing that's taking away from it? And, that's why working with, a healthcare support system that is there to support you to stay healthy is better than working with someone who actually doesn't know you, has no care for you, and is just pushing a drug
right.
or a test.
Dr. Mikhail Blagosklony came on my show early on. And then also Dr. Michael Lasanti from the UK. And we talked about senolytic cells being the factories that this coronavirus likes to take over to replicate using reverse transcriptase. It's a retrovirus. And that reducing senolytic cell accumulation is actually protective. We also saw anecdotally on the cruise ship there was a couple. He had a kidney transplant. He was taking rapamycin for his kidney transplant. His wife got the virus. She had to stay on the ship. They sent him home the next day. He said he thought he felt like he was getting a cold, but it went away. So we know that senescent cells are opportunistic when it comes to this virus. We know that glucose signaling increases the conversion of quiescent to senescent cells. So it could be simply that the person who was the runner, who ate, 6 pounds of pasta a week to keep up, the glycogen stores, had a lot of senolytic cells, even though the form factor looked thin. The accumulation of senolytic of senescent cells. I'm sorry, I don't know why I keep saying senolytic. Senescent cell accumulation was high, and that gave the virus an opportunity to kill them. Do you think that's far fetched?
It's not far fetched. I mean, we don't really know what killed them. I mean, we know that, you know, initially when people started dying because of the cytokine storm and their immune system, their autoimmunity went against themselves instead of being protective of them, they you know, the conventional medical world had no idea what to do with them. So they intubated them and just basically blew out their lungs and killed them. Mm-hmm. So that's really what happened. But it was basically a lot of autoimmune, like your immune system turning on yourself, on you.
Right.
And if you're, like what you said, like, you know, if you're eating a lot of carbs, you have a lot of inflammation, you have a lot of, you know, senescent cells. You have, as you get older, there are more senescent cells. And you want to clean them up and you want to get rid of them right. as much as possible. And carbs are not going to help you get rid of them. They're actually going to increase them. And increasing, you know, the insulin spikes that you get as a result of eating all this sugar will only serve to create an environment that where they're really bathed in inflammatory enzymes and inflammatory changes. So it's only going to make it worse. And then if you add the running to it, in this particular case, it adds insult to injury. So yeah, I think that overall, you know, and we've been saying this for 25 years, eat vegetables, you know, don't eat sugar, don't eat carbs, bring down the carbs.
Right.
And you know, in this case, here you have somebody who works out and is in supposedly great shape, and you look thin on the outside, but inside your body is really corroded pretty mm-hmm, much. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a sitting duck for something like a reverse RNA kind of a retrovirus that will attack what you already have been setting up to, you know. But this is the thing of the vaccines, that people who have horrible reactions to the vaccines, and then there are people who don't have any reactions to the vaccines.
Why do you think that is? Because I know somebody who, when she got her second shot, she went into the hospital for 7 days because she had such bad COVID-like symptoms.
Well, people do have, you know, so nobody seems to be able to give you the answer, or at least of all the CDC. So this is the thing that, you know, and I'm reading, read everything that, as it's coming out, the studies, and it's like nobody, on one hand, it was like, okay, if they don't react, and, you know, because people in nursing homes, the older people who are really old, they didn't have reaction. So it was like assumed is the operational word, that it was because their immune system's so low, so they're not really responding. And then you have people whose immune system's top, right? People are taking hormones and peptides and working out and eating well and taking really good care of themselves, and they were literally flat out from the vaccine. So we don't understand how the vaccine
right.
really works. And I think that if we told that to people, then probably fewer people will take the vaccines, or I don't know. I mean, it's a public health thing. I say at this point, the vaccines are like given for mental health.
people
using their minds. And so it's to treat mental health on one hand. And on the other hand, we don't know. So why don't we just tell people the truth?
The truth.
I mean, just that we don't know.
Anytime the government is involved, we never get the truth. We get the version of the truth that they want us to know. And, you know, you know what I saw? Someone sent me a link. I haven't watched it yet. And it was from 60 Minutes after the swine flu vaccine came out. With 2 years after the swine flu vaccine came out, we had all of these neurological disorders arise that were related to the swine flu vaccine. I didn't remember this. I didn't remember it. And the reason it's important in the discussion now is because we're being told that this mRNA vaccine that's really never been used before is safe for the population by people like Dr. Fauci, get your vaccine, but still wear your mask. And now when you go back, you go, oh my God, they told us about the vaccine that they gave us for the swine flu. And there was a class action lawsuit that was blocked by the government because you can't sue the vaccine manufacturers because they're given all immunity from any harm. Back when what was his name from 60 Minutes? Mike
Wallace
did the interview. I got to listen to it now because I'm like, wait a minute. This is a replay. Like, wait a minute. We've done this already and people really got hurt bad. And now we're hearing them go, oh, don't worry about it. Take it. The vaccine is fine.
Well, we don't know much about a lot of things. And, you know, when you're talking about a public health, and, you know, I've been, you know, weighing both sides, and I was reading about the town in Brazil that they did, you know, which is a disaster, right? And we don't know. Why is Brazil a disaster?
Right.
Why is India a disaster?
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
And, you know, when you hear about these, you know, what kind of a COVID, and nobody seems to know. The truth is, I have yet to be able to send a PCR test to have it identified as what kind of mutation it is, because nobody does it. And I'm in New York City, so really, it makes me wonder. Anyway, but I was reading about this town in Serrano or something like this, and they vaccinated the whole town, about 80% of the people, and the COVID rate went down, and the people are living happily, but nobody understands why. The question is, you know, yeah, this is great and made me feel like, okay, I'm happy to hear that. Obviously, I would love to be out of this insane world we've been living in and be able to walk around, you know, without being concerned that somebody's going to give me a dirty look if I don't wear a mask. And the question really is, what's going to happen in 3 years and 5 years and 20 years from
yes.
now? We don't. And the thing is that I think that, you know, is that something that should stop us from getting vaccinated, or is that something to just realize that this is the world we live in?
And this is my biggest problem with all vaccines. And I've been talking about vaccines from this standpoint. There was a girl who came on the show, Moms Against Vaccination, something years ago. And my big problem is informed consent. So if you're going to give me something, I want to know everything you know about it. Not necessarily because that's going to make me back out. I mean, I've done a lot of stupid things in my life once I understood the risks. And I thought, well, you know, I think I can deal with this. And I've moved forward. I mean, God, I ride a motorcycle every day. I get on a risk every single day. I know the problems with it. I know my risks. I know intersections are really the dangerous places. I almost got T-boned a couple days ago. But I want to know the risks. And the problem with informed consent as it relates to two types of drugs, biologics and vaccines, right? If you're taking Humira or something like that, they don't have to really tell you all the risks involved because it's a biologic and they feel like, oh, it's good for your body. It works with your body. And vaccines, they don't do it because they're afraid that people won't get vaccinated, because the government operates under the assumption of what is important for the greater good. If we have to lose a couple people with these vaccines, but a lot of people get the vaccines and a lot of people live, that's a good thing. But it's only a good thing when you're not one of the people who dies from it.
Right. So this is true. But it's also, on the other hand, is like, you don't want to be one of the people who died of the COVID, right?
Yeah.
So this is something I've been talking about for a long time, which is public health versus individualized health. Unfortunately, in the mainstream media, all you see is people, doctors, experts talking about public health. Public health, CDC, WHO, all of them, their mission, their mandate is public health. They're there to make sure that they help the greater good. And that's important on one hand. But then you go to you and me, and you and me are individuals. So does it apply to us? And what you said about informed consent is critical, but unfortunately, you don't get informed consent that actually tells the truth. You're getting the information that is applicable at the time. I mean, I've been doing a lot of media, and they constantly ask me, masks and no masks and no vaccines, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I keep on going to the same thing. Whatever you're doing, stop eating garbage. Start losing weight, start exercising, start sleeping. You know, what am I saying that is so strange that doesn't show you that that's bigger for the individual, and then the individual taking care of themselves
yes.
is better for the public good, the
yes.
greater good.
Yes.
What am I missing? Help me.
It obviously doesn't sell vaccines. That's the bottom line. It's about money. It always comes down to money and power, money and power. And there are people out there who have a product they want to sell, and they see dollar signs, and they don't want any obstruction. We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the next pandemic. Will you be ready? Will you be capable of surviving without high-risk drugs, and we don't know what's going to work? And there is a way for you to do it if you get started now. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
If there is one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powering over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, and even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a new magnesium product I've been taking now called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the ultimate magnesium supplement, easily the best I've ever seen or experienced. With all seven forms of magnesium, I was able to arrange an amazing deal for my audience, and I guarantee it's the best deal available on this product. Seriously, with volume discounts combined with our custom 10% coupon code SHR10, you can save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. And I promise that this deal is only available on this specific website, magbreakthrough.com/SHR. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even on the company's own website. Go to magbreakthrough.com/SHR and use code SHR10 to save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough.
TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
Pandemic. Being superhuman means being conscientious about the choices we make. White Oak Pastures is superhuman when it comes to raising livestock. They're committed to animal welfare, land regeneration, and rural revival. They responsibly manage the entire process from the pasture to your doorstep. High quality, pasture raised, great tasting meat from a farm you can trust. Full nose to tail selections. They even have options for your pet. Go to shrnetwork.biz/whiteoak and use code SHR20 to save 20% off your entire first order.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Erica Schwartz, and someone wants to say hello. And that is Dr. Suzanne Turner. Hello,
oh,
Carl and Dr.
Hi.
Erica.
Hi. Hi, Suzanne.
Glad
she should be on here with us.
Yeah, I know. We are going to have another pandemic. You know, people forget the Black Plague started in China, went through Italy, just like it did now, went through Europe. You know, we didn't have the population maybe in the United States back then that we have today. But So we're going to have another pandemic. And it's just a matter of time and when. It's not if. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to be the one of the sheeple that you're waiting for the vaccine, you're sleeping, you're staying in your house for 60 days, seven years, whatever it is? Or are you going to be somebody who takes control of your health now? What do you think, Dr. Erica? What should people be doing right now?
I sure hope that everybody says that they're going to take control of their health. They're going to take responsibility and realize that it's in their hands. Now, we don't know who's going to live or die at any given point in time. So that's not really about what it should be about. It should be about the quality of the life that we live today and the contribution we make as human beings to each other and primarily to ourselves, and then it spills over to others. And I wanted to tell you one second that I was just reading that thing that the WHO just came out with, the fact that in India, the new variant is B1617, which is more transmissible, which is why they're dying. But I'd like to say something about that. And I haven't read the whole article, but that's what they found out. You know, do they have the ability to distance 6 feet? Do they have the masks necessary? Do they have the running water to wash their hands? Do they have the food to keep them going and protect them? And I bet you the answer is, for the most part, no.
That's right.
When you're talking about a pandemic and the people who truly are at risk, right, you have to go from the top down and protect each other. And you're not going to be able to protect the people in India who are washing their clothes and eating and doing every all body functions in the river. You're going to start saying, what are you and I doing to help each other? And this is the way we help each other, is by being honest. And you know what? If you're overweight, you don't have to become superhuman, even though it would be really great. You'll feel good. But you can just get off the couch. You could stop eating junk. You can start eating healthy protein, vegetables. You have to really do the things that are really easy in your life. Sleep at night instead, like what you said, stay up all night watching TV, or start exercising. I mean, slowly. I call it intentional movement. I say, okay, let's intentionally move rather than just get up to go to the refrigerator, walk around the room and then get to the refrigerator and then get the junk out of the refrigerator. Drink water. Do you know that literally I spend more time telling people to drink water than anything else? People are dehydrated. Dehydration causes all the problems, literally. So slowly but surely, you can protect yourself. And if we eliminate adult onset diabetes, if we eliminate or decrease the amount of obesity, we will see a dramatic improvement in what our health status will be. It's still not going to save the people who live in crowded conditions, who don't have access to healthy lifestyles. But slowly but surely, you can get there too.
The top three killers in the United States today, heart disease, cancer, and I'm trying to think what the other one is.
COVID.
Oh, is it right now? Yeah.
Yeah, it's number three. But before COVID, it used to be medical errors.
Okay, so the top two killers in the United States today, heart disease and cancer, stem from insulin resistance, from type 2 diabetes. So the reality is that we can actually say, in all honesty, that type 2 diabetes is the number one killer of Americans. So just imagine if you're somebody out there, and we're actually getting ready to do another show next week with Dr. Sandra Kaufman. Everybody is pre-diabetic. The doctors don't look at insulin. They just look at glucose. They really don't know if your pancreas is at 99% production and about to tip off. So if you are somebody who is pre-diabetic, your blood sugar levels have been rising steadily year after year, take control of that. And you probably won't get heart disease or cancer if you get it under control after a couple years. That's the best thing. And then you'll be more robust and strong to fight the flu, fight the next pandemic, you know, fight whatever. I mean, this is silly. The other thing I want to mention is I'm fascinated that you said coffee a couple times. You know, I'm with you on this. So I have a suspicion that coffee is the cause of a lot of gut issues that lead to immune issues. I think that the coffee that our parents drank, it was clear. It looked like rusty water, and it was 4 ounces. But today, we drink this turbid mud puddle in a cup, and I have to believe that all that particulate matter is helping erode the lining of the stomach and causing all sorts of problems. Why did you say coffee a couple times? Like, stop drinking alcohol, stop drinking coffee. Tell me.
Well, from a hormonal standpoint, since I've been doing hormones for so many years, what happens is that as we get older, we lose our hormones. And as we lose the hormones, the diet, obviously, like everything else, affects what our symptoms are and what happens. So when you drink coffee, what you're doing is you're really worsening the symptoms of hormone imbalances, and you are really creating an inflammatory situation. So as we know that the gut is the most important, it's the seat of your immunity. When you're putting this stuff in there, the coffee really destroys the gut. So I think that people, you know, go from like, I have patients who came in and said, oh, I'm drinking 5 cups of coffee a day. And they were like 55 years old. And I'm like, what are you thinking? You know, you have to really start paying attention that you can't eat the same thing when you're 50 or 60 or 70 that you ate when you were 20, because your body does not have the ability to detoxify the system the way it was able to before, because you're running out of stuff and you're eating a lot of junk. So the junk is not replenishing what you need as the supplements that will help you maintain your immune system's ability to fight. So that's coffee being one of them and alcohol being another one of them. And, you know, fried foods, we know. But prepared, anything, like you said, that comes in a box, anything that's prepared, anything that's on the inside aisles of a supermarket, don't put them in your mouth. They're not made for human consumption.
So I want to put this up because I was just going to mention this anyway. So Dr. Turner knows about maybe 8 months ago, I started texting her feverishly on a weekend because I kept finding these studies about caffeine and coffee and C-reactive protein. So caffeine independently raises C-reactive protein. And the more caffeine you use, the higher it goes. Coffee is even worse. And here's why. The caffeine in coffee not only raises C-reactive protein, but it also blocks the receptors in the liver that clear C-reactive protein out of the body. So you not only have an elevation, but you have a saving, if you will, you know, a push-pull. And so coffee raises C-reactive protein even more. So C-reactive protein is horrible. It's one of the inflammatory markers that savvy doctors test for. It's been linked to all sorts of nerve damage. It's been linked to heart disease. It's been linked to all sorts of harmful things. Coffee raises C-reactive protein. No one talks about this. Whenever you hear about coffee, coffee's wonderful. It's manna from heaven. It's so good. It is pro-inflammatory. Take it from me, somebody who was addicted to caffeine for years, and now I don't even drink tea anymore. And I already see changes in my body, and I know why. Because between that and a high quality curcumin product, I am crushing C-reactive protein right now. So does caffeine in isolation cause similar hormone issues? I don't know, but it definitely causes inflammation.
It does. That's exactly what it is. It's inflammation. And when you're losing your hormones, which are protecting you from inflammation, then you're basically naked, sitting there getting all the inflammation in your body. So you're talking about senescence. You're talking about really heavy-duty increase in senescence.
Yeah, I think people should stop drinking coffee. There's a reason why we have all these boutique coffee shops out there, and all these people have 76% of Americans claim they have a gut problem. If you have a gut problem, you have an immunity problem, because that's your immune system. And the army of the immune system is inflammation. So if your immune system is getting jacked, it's burning stuff inside your body that you don't want. Last question, because I know you're busy. This one. Yeah, that's it. So do you think there's any shedding going on? What started in India, did it start after the vaccination? It would be great to know, he says, because it
could
be,
I'd see, yeah.
So people are asking about shedding of this vaccine. You have any thoughts on that?
I don't think we know enough about it, honestly. I think that it's very interesting to see. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure the data will kind of come out. But if it has anything to do with the vaccinations, but from what I was reading before, there was very low level vaccinations, very low level vaccinations in India. But, you know, what we were saying before is like, you know, people in India don't have the ability to sit, you know, 6 feet apart with a mask on. Everything happens in, you know, living on top of each other, basically.
Right.
So, you know, so it's hard. But if you think about it, they eat vegetables. They don't eat meat, right?
Maybe that's a problem. Maybe that's a bad thing, after all.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's one of the things. We tell everybody here to eat vegetables. But they eat much more natural products. But you know what? Poverty is actually really the worst, you know, the worst risk factor.
I mean, TB used to overwhelm the poor. Because they lived in such close proximities, they lived in shanties, no ventilation, poor sanitation. So it doesn't surprise me that India has the problem it has. It really does.
Right.
Okay, exactly. So you can go listen to the TED Talk on YouTube and watch it. Search for Erica, E-R-I-K-A, Schwartz, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z, M-D, on YouTube, and then also E-S for Erica Schwartz, eshealth.com. Thank you for being here today. Fascinating and important discussion. I hope I know we did a good job if we pissed some people off.
I hope not. I hope everybody takes it as an empowerment, that you own it. You have the power. Take the power.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you for being here. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Take care.